To receive a Rhodes Scholarship is to be recognized as one of the best and brightest in the world. The International Study Award was created in 1902 by the will of Cecil Rhodes, a British philanthropist, colonial pioneer, and unapologetic imperialist who exploited the African continent to amass a great fortune. But over the years, those historic details have been lost in the prestige of the award made in his name. Previous American Rhodes Scholar winners include people like Alan Leroy Locke, an early 20th century black educator, and President Bill Clinton, among others. This year, Rachel Mazzeque is among the honorees who will enter the University of Oxford in England as a Rhodes Scholar. The young African-American woman is a graduate of the University of North Carolina and is currently earning a master's degree at Harvard, studying education policy and management. She joins me now from our Washington, D.C. studio to talk about her ambitions. Rachel, first of all, let me say congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
It is so nice to have you on the show. The Rhodes Scholarship is an international competition, of course, we all know that, and one of the most prestigious accolades a student can receive. How do you plan to use it?
I hope to go to Oxford actually to do what they call there a DPhil, which is the equivalent of a PhD in educational studies, looking at the achievement gaps, the academic achievement gaps between minority students and white students in this country, and the similar gaps that they have over in the UK as well.
You know, people have been looking at that for a long time, and I don't know that anyone has ever been able to come up with a satisfactory answer. Perhaps you will. I know that you say you witnessed educational inequities growing up yourself in Maryland. Tell us about that.
Right. I think I had the privilege of being able to attend a private school for middle and high school, and just saw that as I was progressing through my middle and high school career, that I had a lot of opportunities that my friends with similar academic ability weren't able to have. And I had people pushing me, you know, to be excellent in classes, teachers really pushing me to do my best, not accepting mediocre work, pushing into AP classes and really setting my sights on college and beyond. And I saw that a lot of my friends weren't getting that same type of demand for excellence in some of their schools. And it was disappointing to see, because ultimately, you know, I went on to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, but some of my friends didn't go on to college. And and it was just difficult to see that, knowing that we all had the same basic ability starting out.
You know, it's said that it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a village to educate one too, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that the importance of education that my family really emphasized was important to me as well.
You know, I understand that you graduated from UNC a year early, went in at 16, got out in 3 years, right?
I did.
Okay, that's pretty good stuff right there. Then spent 2 years teaching in a rural community in the Mississippi Delta, someplace called Indianola, is that
right? That's right.
Tell us, what was that like?
That was an amazing time, just a real time of growth for me. I wanted to go to a rural area because I hadn't experienced that in, growing up in the D.C. metropolitan area. And one of the first things, of course, that I saw when I moved down there was that the schools were effectively segregated. The school I taught in was all black, 500-some students, all black. And I had to literally drive over train tracks to get to the school, because the train tracks were kind of the dividing line into the black side of town. The students were generally behind in their learning. The second year I taught, my fourth graders read on average at a second grade level. So there were a lot of challenges, but I think that in terms of community supports, there were significant community supports.
From a personal standpoint, Rachel, as you achieve higher and higher levels of education, obviously the number of peers you have begins to dwindle the higher you go. But as an African American and as a woman, how difficult at all is it for you, just in terms of your, you know, your personal mobility and having people who can understand, you know, your roots, so to speak, and accept and appreciate the heights that you have reached as well?
Right. I think, like you said, there are fewer and fewer African-American female peers that I have as I move on with education. But I have stayed close to the friends I grew up with and with my family. And I think that those ties are something that I'll always keep, because it just keeps me grounded. And I think that that's incredibly important. And so I make friends in all the different arenas that I'm in. I had, you know, friends of who were interested in the same academic areas at UNC and now at Harvard, and I'm sure I will at Oxford as well. But I think it's very important to keep those ties that have really been the basis of my formation as a young person.
Have you ever been outside the country? For example, have you been to London before?
I have. I had a high school trip to England in 10th grade, I think, and I've been to South Africa once as well.
Yeah, so did you like England?
You know, it was a very different experience. I think that I would definitely need a little more time to get to know it, but I'll have about 4 years.
So. You will have plenty of time to
exactly.
do just that. Rachel Mazeek is a Rhodes Scholar from Laurel, Maryland. She joined us from NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. Rachel, once again, thanks for being with us, and congratulations on a wonderful accomplishment.
Thank you very much.